Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 42. You can turn there in your Bibles if you would. It says, "Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' And he took Peter and James and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch.' And he went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not I will, but what you will.' And then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' Again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy and they did not know what to answer him. And then he came a third time and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" Would you join me in prayer? Father God, we love you. We praise you and glorify you in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we thank you for this word, that it's alive and that it's active and that it's sharper than any double-edged sword. God, we pray today that you'd use this word to change us, to challenge us, and to convict us. Father, we pray that you would be glorified. Father, that you would reveal things to us that need to be changed, and that we would line our lives up with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have you ever struggled in your life before? Yeah. With something, like had something you didn't want to do or something you wanted to do and you lived in a struggle? Have you ever been through something emotional, physical, spiritual that you felt like you weren't going to be able to get through?
Yeah.
That's good. So it's good that you're here this morning, because that's what this message is about. Jesus this morning is showing us the way that we can get through the struggle. If you're just joining us, and maybe this is your first time, we preach through the Bible here. That's what we do. We've been going through the book of Mark now for about 2.5 years. We're rounding the corner of the end of Mark. Mark chapter 14, 15, and 16 covers the last week of Jesus's earthly ministry. And so this last week, we're walking through it, and because we just take tidbits, then we stop, we go into the scripture, and we see what God has for us, and then we continue on. And so, in this part of the scripture is the part where Jesus is getting ready to go closer to the cross. He's gonna go to the cross, he's gonna die, he's gonna go into the grave, he's gonna resurrect, save all the people from his sins. And so this is that moment where he's in the garden, and some of you have maybe heard this story before, in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he is struggling with what he's supposed to do. He knows that God is taking him to the cross. He knows that he has to die for all of humanity, but it's a struggle for him to do so. And so we see that struggle, and he's got his disciples there with him, and he's talking to his disciples and like, "Hey dudes, can you guys pray and help a brother out?" And they can't even pull their own weight, man. They fall asleep. And so Jesus walks through, he prays to God, and then eventually he just says, "Man, let's rise, let's go. We're going to go to the cross. This is what we're supposed to do." So let's get into this sermon this morning. The first point I want to make to you is this, is that everyone struggles.
Yes.
Everyone. The greatest encouragement of this scripture is that you can look and see God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, struggling and say, "Oh, he struggled. That means it's okay that I struggle as well." If you've ever been a person that says, "I know what I need to do, but I don't want to do it." That's pretty much the whole story of my life. My whole life is a constant struggle of, I know exactly what I need to do. I just don't want to do it. Can I get a witness this morning? That's good. I'm glad you guys are here this morning, because this is for you. It ain't for me. Hey, I was here first service. I already got mine. Amen. Jesus says, "Take this cup from me," in verse 36. And this cup is the cup of God's wrath that would rest upon Jesus as he takes the sin of the whole world on his shoulders. See, that's the process, right? Jesus is going to go to the cross. God is going to place his wrath upon Jesus. And so faced with this prospect, Jesus looks and says, "Man, I know this is what I need to do, but is there any other way for me to be able to do this? Because the sins of the world, the burden, the pain, the remorse, every bad thing, past, present, and future, placed upon Jesus. I mean, this is God's cosmic plan, right? I mean, from the foundations of the earth with Adam and Eve, God said, you know what, I'm going to send a Savior and the Savior's going to save all humanity. Jesus being 100% God and 100% man, He knows the story of salvation. He knows what this is going to take. And through this action on the cross, Jesus is going to forgive every sin of everyone ever, yes, past, present, and future. Amen. And He still says, oh, is there any other way?
Yeah.
Is there any other way? I know this is what I need to do, but I don't want to do it. This should be some of the most encouraging verses to you if you have ever struggled with doing the right thing.
Amen. Yeah.
I know what I need to do. I just don't want to do it, man. I just don't. You know, I remember when Crystal and I had first been to Fort Lewis and we ended up going to the Tacoma Mall. And if you've never been there, I highly recommend it. The Tacoma Mall is a glorious place to hang out. And so we're there and it's on a Saturday. And when I was in the Army, this might be surprising to you, I didn't make a lot of money. I think at the time we were probably making about 1800 bucks a month. Supporting a family of four. And so we're there and we're at the mall. And I remember I was in the restroom and, inside the stall on top of the toilet paper dispenser, there's one of them zippered envelopes, right? You know, the type that they use it when people make a deposit. And so you're in the stall and the door shut and, you know, you open it up and there's like, wow, there's like 3 months of my salary sitting inside of this little zippered envelope. You know what I mean? And you start to like play these games in your head like, well, no one knows I'm in the stall. And someone left it here and I could always give just the checks back. You know what I mean? It's just a deposit. God, come on, get an amen. Would anybody else just have that struggle just a little bit? Some of y'all are like, nope, I'd lift it up and say in Jesus' name. I would march right down to that, here's your money. Now, did I do that eventually? Yes. Okay. I'm not going to sit here and tell you this sermon of where, you know, we went on a shopping spree at the Tacoma Mall with, you know, a bunch of free money we found. But for that moment, man, and maybe you guys are just more holy than I am, and maybe I'm just being honest, but in that moment, I was like, whoo, blessed, glory. And then I thought, you know what, man? I know what I need to do. But in this exact moment, I just don't want to do it. And maybe you understand this and it's in different areas of your life, right? I mean, there's always something. There's always something that you know you're supposed to be doing. And then you look at it and you're just like, I don't want to do this, man. I just don't. I know what I need to do. I just don't want to do it. Jesus says in verse 38, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I mean, I was saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. My spirit man was like, hey man, you're going to be the hero. You're going to bring the money. The flesh is like, you're going to spend it and you're going to enjoy yourself. Can you appreciate and understand that this morning? This is the cosmic battle. This is the heart cry of Paul in Romans chapter 7. For what I am doing, I don't understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, I do. Oh, I hate it. I hate it. I hate that every time I go to my kids, you know, sports events, there's a fundraising table that's selling candy. They know me by name there. Right? They're like, well, here comes Matt. I mean, yesterday we were up at Face basketball tournament and they got them king size Reese's peanut butter cups, you know, 4 in 1 pack, you know, and I kind of walk up to it and they're like, Matt, how's it going? Supporting the team again, huh? And then you kind of pick it up and, you know, I'm just kind of, dude, I'm weird, man. Like maybe you guys, but I'll like pick it up like, just kind of smell it a little bit. And then you like read the back and then you're like, all right, it's got 400 calories, but it's got like 2 grams of protein. Protein's good. Like you need protein, right? She's like, you going to buy it? I'm like, no, I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to buy it. You put it back and then you go walk over here a little bit. And then you like come back again. You kind of look at it. You pick, well, maybe I'm going to buy it. I don't want to eat it. You know what I'm saying? Like I went yesterday and I've been swimming, so I went and swam yesterday for 30 minutes. And then it's like in 3 seconds, I can completely negate what I just did. But I want to. Oh, I want to. I want to. People always say, oh man, you eat so healthy. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to. I want to eat on a steady diet of fat and sugar. Like that's all I really desire in my heart. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Says that he began to be troubled and deeply distressed, and he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. The sorrow of Christ was overwhelming to the point of death. I mean, to the point he says, man, is there any other way? Is there any other way I can do this? So much so I wish I would die than rather to have to go through death. And I know that doesn't make sense, but that's what he says. Is there any other way? Now, why wouldn't he do this? You know, why wouldn't he just fix it? Because he's fully God, right? I mean, God wouldn't be afraid of anything. Now, let me explain something this. Because, you know, we're a growing church, and so sometimes I have to take a little sidestep and explain some doctrine to you. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. And I know that for some of you, you think it's like an either or, and it's like, no, it's not, because that's who he was. There's a big theological word for it. It's called the hypostatic union. And the hypostatic union is 100% God and 100% man at the same time. It was, and there's only one person that gets that label of the hypostatic union. And you say, well, how is that possible? Because he's God, you're not. Okay? Okay? He came in the flesh, but he was God in the flesh. It says in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. That's what he said. In Colossians 2:9, it said, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. John 8:58 said, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Those are all the statements that Jesus said to tell everybody, I am God in the flesh. He said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what Jesus said. He was God. Now, the other parts where it says that is in John 1:14. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. This is an important part. As Christians, we believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He is not a way to heaven. The path to God is not one where you can just look at the bouquet and choose one flower of your choosing. There is only one way to get to heaven, and the only way is through belief in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Philippians 2:7, but he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. John 11:35 says Jesus wept. In John 19:28, he said, I am thirsty. John 4:6 said he was weary from his journey. The Bible talks sometimes where Jesus came out of a 40-day fast and he was hungry.
Yeah.
The same God that walks on water, heals the sick, and raises the dead is the same man who wept, was hungry, and was tired. 100% God and 100% man at the same time. And it's very important for you to understand this distinction, because when Jesus is in the garden and he's saying, if it's possible, let this pass from me, that's the man crying out. It's not God. Why is God crying out? God's not afraid. He's not worried. He's not concerned. But Jesus, being a man in that moment, is crying out, showing his human side. You serve a God that understands your struggle. Half y'all. Jesus struggled, and we identify with that, and he identifies with you. When you are going through a struggle, it's not as if you serve a God that looks down and goes, man, sucks to be you. Because he went through it. He went through the struggle as well. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 through 10. It says this. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The greatest strength of your struggles is that Christ's power can be shown through them. If you are struggling right now, you are going through something, you're in a fantastic position to be able to show God's power and His glory. The Bible declares that when you're going through a struggle, you're actually showing more of Christ's strength than when you're going through nothing. That's what it says. And the benefit is Christ's power can be shown through Him. If you never had any struggles, you'd never have any reason to lean on God. We'd take care of everything on our own. We'd just be like, yeah, I'm good. Have you noticed that when you're going through a struggle, sometimes worship is a little bit better?
Oh, yes.
Someone's sick. You're worried about losing your job. Just lost your job. And you're like, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters. Then you're well fed, just got a raise, everything's good. You're like, Spirit, lead me where my heart is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters. Dude, when you are in it, you are like calling out to God. You're like, I need you, Jesus. Man, praise God for the struggles. Praise God that you get to go through some stuff. That's the time when you show the strength of Christ the most. And if that's what it takes, then Jesus bring the rain. Amen? The Bible declares in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. One of the problems with many people's struggles, that people get upset and say, man, you don't understand my struggle. Newsflash, there's 7 billion people on this planet, okay? Someone else has lost a job before. Someone has lost a family member. Someone has had financial calamity. Somebody has had disease. Somebody has been through something before. And so when you go through that stuff, you're able to sit and say, do you know what, man? Jesus struggled. I'm struggling. I can show God's power through my struggle. Yes. By the way that I go through my struggle.
Amen.
No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. It's common. It happens to all of us. That is those of us that struggle with our sins.
Yeah.
Some of y'all don't struggle with sin because you embrace it.
Yeah.
See, for me, when I look at something, and I'm sorry to remove some sort of veil of supremacy or completeness before you, but I still struggle with sin at times.
Yeah.
Because sin is always knocking at the door trying to pull me down. And so sometimes I'm like, hey, what's going on over here? I just want to see. Ooh, still hot. Still hot. But it's a struggle. I don't just come over and be like, oh, this is great. This is me. But some of y'all don't do that. You don't have, you're like, struggle with sin? I don't know what that is. I embrace my sin. I take it on as a lifestyle, man. I try to control my thoughts, my eyes, my actions, my plans. I want them to line up with Jesus. But my flesh constantly fights with me. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. My spirit is like, I want you, Jesus. My flesh is like, I want everything that has nothing to do with Jesus.
Yes.
And given the opportunity without fighting it, you don't know where it would go. The Bible says in James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. It seems odd to not have joy when you're going through your trials. Because if you're walking with Jesus, you should have joy. See, there's this subtle thing that happens that people begin to believe that just because you're going through something, you have to act like a crazy person. You can be going through the worst that life has to offer and still smile and get through it. There's nothing in the book that's written that says, man, you're supposed to act like you're really upset about the fact of what happened. There's nothing in the book that says you really should be acting this way based on what's going on in your life. You can smile and be like, yeah, man, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Horrible. Everything's the worst it's ever been. Struggles grow. They challenge you. They help you. You identify with Jesus through your struggles because Jesus was one who struggled.
Yes.
And so how do you get through them? You get through struggles with supplication. What does supplication mean? Supplication means prayer. Look at the text, man. And they prayed that if it were possible. And again, he went and prayed. Watch and pray. In this text and in his ministry, the strength of Jesus was through prayer. It was the means by which he was able to maintain a constant contact with the Father and get through this life. See, whenever Jesus was struggling, Jesus was concerned. His response was, I'm going to pray that if it were possible. Again, he went and he prayed. The Bible is undeniably clear that Jesus was a man of prayer. And again, 100% God, 100% man. And so when he goes out for prayer, he's going as a man to go and pray to Father God to get whatever he needs, however he can stay connected to God to get through what he was going through. And that's what Jesus knew, is that he knew, you know what, I'm going to go through it, and the only way I can go through it is by going through it with Father God. Matthew 14:23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when evening came, he was alone there. See, Jesus was a man of earnest prayer. Oftentimes, we just kind of like haphazardly like, well, God's powerful, and he hears me, so, dear Jesus, if it was possible, can you just take care of this thing in my life? You know, in Hebrews 5:7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, was heard because of his godly fear. Yes, is this how you pray? See, because when I pray, I get alone with God and I weep and I cry and I shout and I yell and I cry out to the one who saved me. People say, well, does God hear you any better? I don't know, man. But when I need help, I'm like, I need help. I can't do this. I need you to do something inside of my life. I need you to change something inside of me, God. And I understand, man, like in our church, we're a pretty charismatic church. And sometimes people come in and like, man, these guys seem to take it so seriously. Why they gotta wave their hands? And, you know, I was trying to worship and this person's on the side of the church crying out to God. And they're like, shut up, man, I'm trying to sing. And I'm sitting up here and there's someone back here who finally is crying out to God. We've been praying for them for years. We've been praying for them to bend the knee to go before God. And then the Holy Spirit falls and they break through and they're like, I need you, Jesus. And I was like, would you shut up? We're crying out to God. I'm not saying that please, I don't need everybody to get up on the chairs and run back and forth and scream. I'm not saying that, right? We're Pentecostal with a seatbelt. It's fine. Okay? But sometimes it just comes out, man. Anybody say, is there anything so wrong with that? I don't think it is. There's a balance. You know, if you're just yelling and screaming every week because you want everybody to look at you, that's a little bit different. But man, when I need God, I need God. And I don't care what you think or anybody else thinks. Because I need him. I need him. Jesus was an emotional prayer. And it was his connection to the Father that was able to guide him through this struggle of having to go to the cross. Had he not, he may not have been able to do it. And what does that mean to you? Are you praying to God in the midst of your struggles, or are you just praying for forgiveness afterwards? Because there's really, you're going to pray eventually. You know that sin is crouching at your door. You know you're going through this struggle. And so you either pray as you're going into it, whether it be with sin or a situation or a circumstance. You choose prayer, or you come out on the other side and then you ask for forgiveness for not praying to God as you were walking through something. Yeah. Are you going to God in the midst of your struggles? Are you depending on him to see you through your trials? Is he the source of your strength, or is it on you? There's nothing in the Bible that God says it's on you. Yep. It's not. It's all about you staying connected to the one that's going to give you the strength to get through that which you need to go through. Yes. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, I'm one of these guys, I just take the Bible as what it says. So when he says, but in everything by prayer, that means that you're supposed to be praying about everything. Yeah. Everything. Whether it's something with your family or your job or yourself or anything, you need to be praying about it. And if you're struggling, the way through is through prayer. Now watch this. You'll notice that Jesus' prayer didn't keep him from having to go to the cross. He still had to go to the cross. But he went to it with God. He didn't go through on his own strength. Don't think for a minute that just because you prayed that you're going to be delivered to it. Sometimes God will just walk you through the flames and hold your hand as you're walking through. You won't get burned. You won't die. You're just going to feel like you're going to die. Now, does that mean that God's never going to deliver you? No, not at all, man. Sometimes God does deliver you. Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. Amen. But he encourages us to pray. Pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And maybe you struggle with prayer, man. And I'll tell you, for me, there's times that I struggle with prayer because, like, I'm Mr. Efficiency, man. I'm like, God, fix everything. Right? And he's like, all right. Like, that's just, it's quick, it's easy. It's like, God, be with me, fix it, Jesus, and I'll do whatever you say. Like, amen. Handle it, okay? Sometimes I'll go through and I'll pray for everybody I ever met my entire life, and 10 minutes later, I'm done. I'm just like... But I want to spend more time with the Father, man. I want to spend more time praying. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because the Bible says if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit himself will intercede for you. The Spirit will pray for you. The Bible says in Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so when I don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit himself will pray through me that which I need. And they say, man, that seems really weird, man. How does that work exactly? See, here's what I don't understand, man. People are all good with the weirdness of God, except some of the weirdness of God. If you embrace the full weirdness or you don't. Right? We came from dirt. That's what it says in Genesis. Okay? It's weird. It's super weird. God flooded the earth and saved some people and killed everybody else. It's really weird. It's really weird that, you know, the nation of Israel was inside of Egypt for 40 years. And God made food rain down from the sky and fed them for 40 years. That's not just like a fun Bible story. That's how they lived. Okay? All the miracles of Moses and all the stuff with Joshua and the promised land and the giants. And then we believe that Jesus came as God in the flesh, that he was crucified, and then he died, and then he went up and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat of God, and then he came back, and then he ate some broiled fish with his buddies, and then he ascended into heaven. We believe that, you know, Paul healed people with his shadow. It's all weird. And then we start talking about something like speaking in tongues, and people are like, oh, I don't know, that seems really weird. When were you not paying attention before we got to this point? Because it was all weird before we got to this point. And you don't believe, and you believe that Jesus is going to come back and pull you in bodily form in the rapture? You believe that you're going to be glorified and have a new body and a new heaven and a new earth? And you can't believe that the Holy Spirit's going to speak through you to pray for you in words that cannot express? You know, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Kevin was up here and I went up for prayer and he's praying for me and, you know, he's from Kenya. So he's praying for me and I'm kind of listening. I'm like, then he got done praying. I was like, hey man, was that tongues or was that Swahili? Which one was it? And he was like, tongues. I was like, okay, it's fine. But honestly, why does it matter? Can he pray for me in Swahili? Do I have to, man, don't you be praying for me in Swahili. I want English. Because if I can't understand what you're saying, you might be praying against me. Or you just trust that if he's walking with Jesus, he knows Jesus. Spirit knows. God knows. Why do you have to know? I don't have to know. Pray for me on Swahili anytime you want. Jumbo. We'll do it. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer supplication in the Spirit. The Bible says out of your belly shall flow streams of living water. Living water is the Holy Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Pray for this gift, man. Ask God for it. Say, you know what? I don't know exactly what that is, God, but I know you're powerful enough to do it inside of me and he will do it. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. That's what a life of prayer will produce. If you're going to get through the struggle, you have to supplicate, man. You have to pray. But to beat the struggle, you have to have submission. You have to have submission. Just like Jesus, we've been in that place where we don't want to do what we need to do. And Jesus says, take this cup from me. But then he says, nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will.
Amen.
Nevertheless, is the words of Jesus. I don't want to do this, but it's not what I want, it's what you want, Father. Yes. Nevertheless, even though I don't want to do it, nevertheless, even though I don't know how I'm going to do it, nevertheless, if that's what you want from me, Father, I will do it.
Yes.
I want to show you this scripture in Philippians chapter 2. Verses 5 through 8, it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal of God. Verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance to man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. See, we talk about being obedient to God, but are you obedient to death?
Yeah.
Like, is your obedience to that point of you're like, you know what? Even if it kills me, I'm going to be obedient.
Yeah.
See, I came to this point in my life where I decided and I said, you know what? If the story of my life is that I was obedient to God and I lost everything, I'm okay with that.
Amen.
I'm totally okay with it. I'm totally fine standing around my friends, my family. People see me on social media. I'm like, look at that dude, man. He lost everything being obedient to God.
Yeah.
I'm 100% completely comfortable with that. Because Jesus was obedient to death.
Yeah.
Can't I at least be obedient in the small things that God has asked me to do?
Yeah.
The Bible says he made himself of no reputation, and that it makes no worldly sense, but in the spirit it does, because Jesus shows us the way to the Father. It's through submission. The Son of Man had the desire to not go to the cross, but he submitted. He did it. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, Jesus' obedience looked past his circumstance and said, God's going to do something good after I've been obedient. So I'm going to be obedient now because I know over there, God is going to show himself faithful. I know there's joy on the other side. I know things are going to be better on the other side. I'm going to think about the joy and I'm going to endure the cross. I'm going to despise the shame. He looked past the pain and saw the joy for what the cross produced. He submitted to the will of the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus said in John 6:38, for I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus said, I only do what God tells me to do. That's why when they said, when are you coming back? He said, no one knows the day or the hour, only the Father in heaven. His total life was centered around submission to the will of the Father.
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean to you? Have you submitted your will to the Father?
Yeah.
Have you? In every area of your life. Okay, good. We'll continue. Because here's what's happened to modern day Christianity. And when people look at me and this church and they wonder, like, why are these people so crazy? Well, I'll tell you why. Because modern day Christianity has turned following Jesus into something that you do, not something that you are.
Yeah.
It's just an addition. You know what I mean? You got your job, you got your spouse, you got your club, you got your church. And it's just what you do. You just come. But I don't believe that that's what God demands of us. When I read my Bible, that's not what it looks like to me. What it looks like to me is a life that's fully submitted to God in every single area of your life. 24/7, 365. You don't get a day off. You don't get an afternoon off. You're always submitted to God all the time. The early disciples were willing to cast down their nets. Modern day Christians can't even put down their cell phones. I mean, really, like, modern day Christians, you look in other foreign countries where people have to, like, fight death to go to church on Sunday. And some people are like, oh, I like that church, but you know, it gets kind of hot in there in the summer and the parking isn't that good. And when it's raining, my nice shoes get messed up in the, you know, the dirty gutters. That's literally how people are, man. Like, why do we want to submit to God as long as it's only comfortable and convenient? Oh, I will serve God wholeheartedly, but can you end on time? I'll really submit as long as you just end on time. Romans 10:3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. See, that's what happens, that people try to submit to their own righteousness. They don't want to submit to God's righteousness. And so they create this idea of what being submitted to God looks like. And I just see it so much where people just, they want to put on the name of Christ, but they don't want to put on Christ because they don't want what it's going to cost them. The all-encompassing truth of what God and His Word requires is not what most people are interested in doing. They're just not. People will drive their kids back and forth to a sports practice 5 times a week and scoff at one day of church. Yeah. They'll purchase houses and cars and scoff at paying tithes. Yeah. They'll volunteer for the PTA but refuse to serve at church. Yeah. And then they get very, very upset when anyone, a church member or pastor, corrects them of how dare they be corrected because it's none of their business. See, I understand that I'm the pastor of the church, man, but I'm still a member of this church. Yeah. And my first calling is as a follower of Jesus Christ. It's not my calling isn't first to be a pastor. My first calling is to be a member of this church. God has placed me and appointed me as the pastor, but it doesn't give me an out. Like, if I need to be corrected, then I need to be corrected. If I need to be pulled back in, then I need to be pulled back in, man. Like this week. So I didn't have a very good week. And I sent out my little text to the man up thing. If you're a guy and you weren't at man up yesterday, we missed you. We would love to have you. If you don't get my texts, let me get my phone. I send out my texts just to remind guys, like, hey man, we're having the man up. You should be there. It's gonna be awesome. And so I sent out my man up text. I was like, hey, see you at the man up. And then Brian Brackett calls me from work and he's like, hey man, you doing all right? I'm like, yeah, why, man? What's going on? He goes, your man up text was different. Huh? He goes, yeah, man, usually you're like, bring a friend and I love you. And this week it was like, man up, 7 a.m. He's like, what's going on? He goes, you having a good week? I was like, no, I'm not having a good week. Not at all. He said, yeah, I could tell in your text, man. And see, what's interesting is that, like, I wasn't even thinking, like, I'll send out this text, we'll see if anybody notices. I was like, man up. But because he knows Jesus and he listens to the Holy Spirit, he's like, wait a minute, there's something wrong with my brother there. He's not acting like himself. And so, you know, we spent about 20 minutes on the phone while he was at work, and he kind of squared me up and was like, listen, man, let's talk about it. Let's get this thing out. Let's get you where you need to be, man. I can't have my pastor down in the dumps. Can't do it. And so you know what I said? How dare you think that you can speak to me this way? I am your pastor. Submit! No, dude. I'm like, dude, you're 100% right. Because that's exactly where I'm at. And I just, you know, I'm not above correction. I'm not above somebody being like, dude, you're being an emotional ninny. Like, man up. Let's go. Why do we get so upset when somebody who loves you is trying to bring you back to the place where you need to be? The Bible says in Hebrews 12:9, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us. And if we paid them respect, shall we much not more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? We need to submit to the Father. The truth is, if church was run like a sports team, many people would be removed from the team. Late for practice, bad attitude, not listening to the coach, not learning the plays, fighting with their team members, not taking care of their personal issues, locker room cancers. You can't expect to overcome your struggles if you're unwilling to submit to God in every area of your life. You want the devil to leave you alone? Submit to God. Yeah. And here's what happens, that people come to us for like marriage counseling or whatever, and they're like, I hate them, and they did this, and they did that. And I'm like, hold on, before we get there, let's go to the areas of your life where you need to be submitted to God. No, you got to understand, we're in the middle of a fight. Yeah, but you're being completely 100% disobedient in all these other areas of your life, and then you're expecting for your marriage to flourish. They're connected to one another, so let's talk about where you're not submitted. You don't understand, we've got issues. Yeah, because you're not submitted. Now come to me and say we're submitted to God in every single area of our life and we're still having trouble communicating, then we'll talk. But you can't walk in 100% disobedience of every other area of your life and expect that somehow you're going to flourish in other areas of your life. It just doesn't work that way. Total and complete submission to God in every area is the only thing that works. James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Has your heart become like Jesus to say, not my will, but your will be done? Has that really become your heart? Is that really what your heart's cry is, where you would say, do you know what, God? I realize that this could cost me, but not my will, but your will be done. I realize it may not go well in the flesh, but not my will, but your will be done. Now here's my fourth and final point. Struggles are beat with strength. Now let me explain it, okay? Because it says that after Jesus had struggled, after he had prayed, after he had submitted, it was go time. That's what it says. Right there in verse 42, it says, rise, let us be going. Rise, let us be going. Eventually, sometimes you just got to get up and move on.
Yeah, that's good.
After you have struggled, after you have prayed, after you have submitted, sometimes there's just a point where you're just like, man, this is what we got to do. That there's no way out. There's nothing else we can do. We've talked about it. We prayed about it. Y'all fell asleep. I prayed about it. I asked God to do something else. He ain't doing anything else. Let's go, man. Let's rise. Let us be going. We're going to the cross. That's what we need to do. And this is how we're going to do it. There's no other way. We've tried to figure it out. It's time to just rise and be going. You can't stay in the struggle. Jesus didn't sit in the garden forever. Yes, he sweat blood. Yes, he prayed. He submitted and then he went to the cross. Rise. Let us be going. Don't live under any false impressions that Jesus was a guy who sat around in his problems at all. Now I know this. I know some of you very well and some of you guys don't know me very well. And so oftentimes you see a guy that's like me and you assume things about me. And I don't share because I need to share as much as I want you to understand who I am so that you can in your own life, okay? I was a mental health counselor for 6 years in the U.S. military, okay? That's what I did. Mental health has a benefit. Okay, I believe in mental health, not in the way of like, I believe in mental health, but like, I believe in mental health. I believe that there's a benefit to counseling, and I believe that there's a benefit to going and talking about stuff. And I did it for like 6 years, and for some people, it's a great path to healing. But what I will tell you is after doing that for 6 years, and after being in the ministry for 15 years, you whether you're talking about it for 1 week or 100 weeks, at some point, you just have to move on. At some point, you have to make the decision, be like, man, I'm just going to rise. Let us be going. Let's go and do it. You know, earlier this year, I remember me and Jay were talking about some stuff. And, dude, we've been friends for 30 years. And I shared some things from him of my childhood that he had never heard about before. And he said, man, how come you never shared that with me? I said, because I don't need to talk about it. There's nothing I can do to change it. I can't go back and fix something that happened 30 years ago. I can either try to let it keep me from being who I am today, or I can just move on from it right now. And people say, well, that's disingenuous. Is it disingenuous? Because when I move forward with Jesus Christ. I'm going to cry, but I'm going to cry in His presence. I'm going to hurt, but I'm going to hurt in His arms. I'm not going to allow the devil or any other part of this world to try to bring me down, believing that something that happened in my past is going to keep me from walking forward to my future, man. I'm just not going to do it. Some point you just got to get up and make it happen. And I share that with you guys, not because I need some sort of like, oh, what happened? I don't even care, man. What I want you to understand is that it's possible to go through something and not let it affect you for the rest of your life. It's possible. And I'm not trying to talk. Listen, if you're in the thick of it, man, and you're in the struggle, supplicate, submit, rise up. You're going to be on your path. You're going to get there. But at some point, either today or 5 years from now, you're just going to have to make a decision to rise and get going. You just have to. Here's what I know and what Jesus knew. What God is bringing you to, He will go there with you. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will hold you with my righteous hand. Exodus 15:2. The Lord is my strength and my song and has become my salvation. He is my God and I will praise Him. My Father's God and I will exalt Him. And what does that mean to you? Rise. Get going. Quit staying in the struggle phase, man. Pray, submit, and rise and get going. And when you go, you will not go on your own. Deuteronomy 24. For the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. You're not going without Him. You're going with Him. When Jesus got up and He went to the cross, He didn't go there on His own. He went there with Father God. He had His strength, His power, the power of the Holy Spirit to go with Him. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Last scripture, Psalm 31:24, be of good courage and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads? Listen, I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you're in the middle of the struggle. Maybe you're in the submission phase. Maybe you're in the praying phase. You're in the rise phase. But if you have never given your life to Jesus, I want you to take the opportunity to submit yourself to Him right now. And maybe you've never given your life to Jesus before. Maybe you've never made that decision. It's really quite simple, man. Either you're living for Jesus or you're not. Either you've given your life to Him or you haven't. If you're watching online, if you're watching a recording of this, or if you're sitting in this room right now, man, you know if you're living for Jesus or you're not. You know if you've given your life to Him or you haven't. And if you've never given your life to Him today, I want you to do that today. We want to pray with you. And if you've never done it and you want to do it for the first time today, I want you to raise your hand and say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. Is there anybody that needs to do it for the first time today? Hand held high. Praise God. Someone did give their life to the Lord this morning, first service. Submitted. We're a church that sees people get saved. Now, whatever place that you're at in this struggle, man, maybe you're in the struggle, you're in the praying, you're in the submitting, you're in the rising. Maybe you just need to identify with Christ's struggle today. Maybe you just need to submit to being obedient to God today. Maybe you just need to pray more about it. Maybe you've been, you know, derelict and been like, man, I haven't even talked to God about this at all. I'm trying to go through it on my own. Believe today that God can move in the midst of that. Believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit that you can rise and move forward. Father, we praise you and we thank you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we thank you that you're a God that moves in our lives, God. And we pray that through our struggles that you would walk with us, God. Give us the strength to submit to your will in our lives, that we would be filled wholly and completely with you, God. And Father, I pray for those people here today that need to rise, God, that you would give them the strength. They would rise up in you, not in their own strength, but in your strength to walk through what you're walking them through, God. We thank you, we praise you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen, amen. All right, let's everybody rise up across this place. Take hands with your neighbor. And I don't know about you, but sometimes you come in and you're like, word goes forth and you're all, okay, so was the pastor like, did he put like bugs in my house and heard all my conversations this week? And if that's you, don't worry, you're not alone. And I just want to encourage you, that was not the pastor, that was the Lord speaking to you today. Okay, so I want you to take that and receive it. Okay, because that was the Lord speaking right to you. All right, let's pray as we leave this place. Lord, we thank you for that word. We just ask, Lord Jesus, that as we go forth today, that that word would go deep in our heart, that we wouldn't walk out to the parking lot and it would leave our ears and our heart immediately, Lord, but that it would go deep and that you would allow it to change us, that we could rise up if you've called us to rise up, that we could stand if you've called us to stand, and that we could walk with you through all the things that you are walking us through right now. We thank you for this day, and we pray that you would bless us as we go out and keep us safe as we come back. We worship you in this place. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We'll see you next week. Don't forget your kids. They miss you.
Thank you for watching the Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you. From the FVC Live team. Thank you for